and a wealth of dark curly hair on the female beneath me. That hair, this is my female, I think. I lean in and breathe deeply of her scent, trying to orient myself. The clouds threaten to roll in and drown my thoughts once more, but her scent helps. There is no arousal scent to this female. If she is mine, why does she not want me? Why is it that all I smell is fear? Does she not wish to mate? Did she not challenge me? Or am I imagining such things? I rear back, uncertain. "Vaughn," she pants, her eyes wide, the whites showing bright against her beautiful face. That hair, such beautiful, thick hair. I like it almost as much as her scent. She pats her chest, over her frantically beating heart.
"Gwen."
Gwen. Gwen is my mate. I remember now. She is frightened of me. Despair threatens to overwhelm me, and I back off of her in a hurry. I retreat a few steps, crouching low. I hate that she gasps for breath, and that her fear smell is coating the air around us with its poison. I hate that her heart beats so frantically I can hear it even from this distance. I hate that my fangs throb, aching to sink into her even now. As I watch, she raises a trembling hand to gather the yellow material to her chest, as if trying to cover herself. And I growl, because I am furious with myself for frightening her. It is clear she wants something different from me. Something more. I will have to figure out what that is. Perhaps food will rid her of her fear. Once she sees how I can provide for her, she will roll to her belly and welcome me into her body. Yes, that sounds like a good plan.
11. Gwen. I clutch at the shreds of my shirt as Vaughn shifts to dragon form and pounces into the air. My hair is buffeted wildly about my face by the wind generated from his wings, and leaves and dirt rain over my skin as he takes off and flies away. "Okay, that went well," I think sarcastically. I watch him fly off until he's no more than a golden speck in the sky, and fight back the urge to run away screaming. I stare at the thick trees lining the edge of the trailer park, taunting me. It'd do no good to run. If he picks up my scent, no matter what I do, he'll just find me again. And I don't want him angry. Not after what just happened. I try to knot my shirt into some semblance of modesty again, and then give up when I realize it's mostly just shreds and sleeves at this point. I thought he was going to rape me. I really did. It was like he lost control of who he was. I don't think he remembered who I was even until I said my name. He stared down at me for a moment with utter confusion, and then there was no mistaking the look of horror that crossed his face. I don't think he wants to hurt me. I just don't think he's in control. Not entirely. For a moment there, it had been thrilling to hear my name from his lips, to see the fascination on his face, to realize how strong and powerful he was, and how utterly entranced by me. It was ruined the moment he shredded my shirt, though. I glance up at the sky, but no dragon's returning. If he's flying off for real and not just fooling around, he might not be back for a while. Well, I look around. I can sit in the dirt and cry, or I can find myself a new shirt and see what I can scavenge from this trailer park. I get to my feet, dust off my jeans and my pride, and head to the closest trailer. 12. Gwen. Every survivor in the after has turned scavenging into a fine art. It doesn't matter how trashed or nasty an abandoned place is, there's bound to be something to scavenge for usefulness. Sometimes it takes imagination, and sometimes it takes a strong gut, but there's always something to be found, even if it's just information. I head into the first trailer, taking careful steps as I go inside. The windows to this one were left open and the floor is soggy and warped. The ceiling overhead sags with water damage and is thick with mold, so I retreat outside, find the shreds of my shirt and press a sleeve to my mouth and nose as I dig through the remnants of a lost civilization. A civilization I used to belong to. Some people find scavenging fun, but I mostly find it sad, because I think of what used to be. This trailer's full of those types of relics, all waterlogged and useless. Stacks of DVDs and old VHS tapes cover the tiny table, and it looks like a critter made its nest on the bed and then abandoned it. The clothes in the tiny closet are destroyed, chewed by mice and ruined by more mold. I move forward and pick through the kitchen and find an old copper pot. That'll be useful, provided I can find somewhere to rinse it. I take it with me and keep hunting. In the very back of the trailer, in a cubby that must have been a bathroom, there's a skeleton. The bones were picked clean long ago, and judging by the gun parked near the head, it wasn't death by dragon fire. All right, that tells me plenty. If this guy was left alone long enough to be a skeleton, that means no one found the body. That means this place is remote, because no one would leave a perfectly good gun with a dead guy. I pick it up and study it. Looks like a Glock 22, which means it probably came off of a police officer at some point. I pop out the magazine. Still has 4 rounds. Nice. I pop it back in, put on the safety, and then set it in my pot. I check the dead guy's pockets, apologizing as I do. Sorry to be rude, mister, but I need whatever you have more than you do. I find a wallet with a few condoms stuffed inside it. Optimistic of him. Several $20 bills, now useless, and a photo ID. My dead guy was handsome. Young, a cop. It makes me sad to see his photo. It's easier when they're faceless masses. I'm sorry, Jimmy Hufferson. I tell him as I set his ID down on the counter. You took the easy way out. Sometimes I envy you. The address is Saranac, Louisiana. Means nothing to me other than we're still in Louisiana. All right, someplace remote then. Figures. Even if I wanted to escape the dragon, it's not feasible if I'm in the middle of nowhere. A brown girl by herself alone in the woods in the deep south? Please. I know how that story ends. I dig around in his bedroom until I find a holster and a belt, put it on, and then slide my gun home. Already I feel better. I put my makeshift mask back over my face and head out of the trailer. Doesn't bode well for the next one, but I check it out anyhow. The door's secured, and it takes the butt of the gun to bust through the glass and then break my way in. Jackpot, I murmur as I step inside. For a change, it's good that I'm in a remote location because this place is pristine. It hasn't been touched since its occupant left. There's an old mattress on the floor instead of a real bed, but the sheets and blankets on it still look decent. They need a good airing out, sure, but they're usable. There's even a pillow. I head farther inside and immediately check the kitchen. Empty except for a lighter. That's disappointing. I guess that's why whoever was here left, eh? I say to no one in particular as I pocket the lighter. I check every cabinet twice just in case I've overlooked a can tucked somewhere, but no dice. The bathroom has a freshly wrapped bar of soap, though. A wide-toothed comb, and there's a few t-shirts in the closet that look like they'd fit me. Score, score, and score. I slide one over my ratty bra and get a glimpse of myself in the mirror hanging off the closet door. My face is leaner and harder than it was in the before. But since there's no hairdressers to be found, I've let my hair go crazy. And as a result, it's a wild, thick mess of waves. It actually looks kind of nice. I'm thin and bony, though, and I wrinkle my nose as I grab one minuscule tit. Not much there anymore. Oh, well. Too bad for you, Vaughn. And then I laugh at my own joke. It's either that or cry, and I'm tired of crying. I feel better with a shirt covering my nakedness and a gun at hand, like I've got shit under control. I head out of the trailer and do a quick check of the others, but they're either impossible to get into or emptied out already. That's all right. I've got plenty. I air out the sheet, hanging them from a few nearby trees, and then make a fire in what was once clearly a fire pit, if the circle of white stones in the tall grasses is any indication. Twilight comes on, And out here in the woods, I can hear the cicadas like crazy. It's kind of creepy, and I realize just how lonely it is without other people. I've been in forts ever since the rift appeared, and there are always people around in a fort. Dee and I have been inseparable for the last 7 years, and Andrea's been my roomie for the last two. I don't know that I like being alone. I certainly don't like being alone out here in the dark. Come back any time, Vaughn, I tell the empty air as I slap away mosquitoes. I won't even scream at you. Well, maybe a little. I'm only human after all, and he is most definitely not. As it gets darker, I start to worry. Surely the dragon didn't just leave me. Like, was I not friendly enough? I chew on my lip, worried. I thought I was doing pretty damn good considering the situation. He can't paw at a girl and expect me to just be okay with it out of the blue. He has to know that I'm going to be afraid, doesn't he? A slightly more terrifying thought hits me. What if he forgot me? Goosebumps prickle my arms and I stare at the shadowy dark woods around me. I think of Vaughn and that awful blankness in his eyes for a long moment, until I said my name. It was like he'd spaced out. What if he spaced out and forgot where I am and I'd never see him again? No matter how frightening the dragon is to me, that might be worse. Long minutes pass in silence. I think of Daniela, my poor, fragile sister who used to be such a happy person. I think of Andrea. I think of Amy and Rast and their plans for Fort Shreveport. Hell, I even think of Liam. I want to go back. I don't want to end my days out here in some bumfuck nowhere abandoned trailer park because a dragon forgot me. Forgotten. Lovely. The trees rustle and shake, and I look up in time to see a cat-like gleam of dragon eyes. A few moments later, a heavy form lands with a thud nearby and nearly puts my fire out. I don't even care. I haven't been abandoned, and relief courses through me. I jump to my feet. Vaughn! The dragon stalks out of the shadows, dumps a dead deer on the ground, and then changes to his human form. Hunting. He didn't forget me after all. Giddy with relief, I fling myself across the clearing and throw my arms around his neck. Heck, he could be one of the Brothers of Ash at this moment, and as long as I wasn't abandoned, I'd be thrilled to see him. Vaughn, I say again happily, hugging the dragon's neck. Thank you for coming back. His skin feels scorching hot against my own, but not sweaty. Not unpleasant, either. I feel his hand hesitate against my back, and then he touches me gently, reverently. Claws trail up my new shirt, and then he buries his fingers in my hair. A moment later, he buries his face there, too. I stiffen and then force myself to relax. I'm the one that hugged him, after all. Remember me, Vaughn? I'm Gwen.
Gwen,
he says thickly, and Lord, the guy really does have an amazing voice. The rich baritone rolls through the air, and I sigh with contentment. Funny how a person's perspective can change in a few hours in the threat of abandonment. I pull back from Vaughn and smile at him, determined to befriend him. We're going to make this work, damn it, I say, and then tug him forward. Come sit by the fire with me. He looks down where I'm touching his hand, and when I give his fingers a little squeeze, he returns the gesture.
Gwen,
he says again. Yep. When he comes toward the fire, I can see there's blood smeared on his golden face. I gasp at the sight of it. Are you okay? He cocks his head, his expression that strange blankness. But he says my name again and squeezes my hand once more, so I don't think I've lost him completely. I reach up and touch his cheek with my free hand, looking for wounds. Immediately, he turns his face toward my palm, nuzzling it, his eyes closed in a look of rapture on his face. Oh, I'm shocked at the tender gesture. I'm even more shocked at how I respond, the little thrum of pleasure racing through my body when his lips graze my skin. But then blood smears on my skin and the moment is ruined. Yuck, my friend, I say softly, pulling my hand away. Let's get this cleaned up and look for wounds. I manage to get him to sit by the fire, ignoring the hopeful look on his face. I think he's not so secretly hoping he gets to nuzzle my hand again. Instead, I spit on the edge of one of the t-shirts, grimace at the fact that we have no water, and then swipe at his face. I'm sorry about the spit shine, I tell him, doing my best to wipe the red smears away. I just want to make sure you're not hurt. He remains completely still for my touches, watching me with a bit of puzzlement on his face, as if he's not entirely sure what I'm doing but doesn't want to interrupt. It's kind of cute, and if I wasn't so on edge, I'd laugh. There's no wound on his face, though, and when I'm done cleaning his skin, I feel like an idiot. It's from the deer, isn't it? Of course it is. You're a hunter. I wipe my hands and turn away. And me? I clearly know nothing about dragons. Vaughn immediately grabs my arm, pulling me back toward him with a growl. I yelp in surprise, and his eyes flash dark. He immediately releases me, and we both stare at each other for a moment. His eyes have that odd blankness to them again. Vaughn? It's me, Gwen, I tell him softly. Recognition dawns on his face, and I can tell the moment he focuses again.
Gwen,
he says, and taps a hand on my chest. I smile at him, but inwardly I'm worried. How often are we going to have to do this?
13. Vaughn. Gwen is not happy. At least, I am not sure she is happy. It is difficult to read her without the mental bond, but it is clear that everything I do is wrong, and this frustrates me. I bring her fresh meat because she must be hungry. She does not eat it fresh and juicy from the ribs, though, but insists on putting it over her fire and slowly burning it until all the delicious blood taste is leached from the meat. She sips water from her little pot, eats her burned meat, and is quiet. While I was gone, she covered her body in more of the strange skins that humans wear, and the stink of another covers up her scent. I do not like it, and despite my growls and plucking at the thing, she will not remove it. She slaps my hand away and ignores me. Confused, I watch her, wary. Is she rejecting my advances, then? I have never heard of a female doing such a thing. But I have also never heard of a female that challenges, runs away, and then refuses to challenge or shift to battle form. She is difficult. But she is mine. I do not mind difficult. I simply wish to understand her so we can mate and I can bond with her. My female gazes at me from over the fire, and I struggle to remember her name. It is a pleasant sound, but the longer I watch her, the more it escapes me. Gwen, she says softly, gesturing at herself. Her voice is gentle, her expression worried. Gwen, I echo, nodding. I will remember it this time. I will. Nothing is more important than my mate. I have to remember. I do. She smiles at the sound of my voice, and then yawns. She babbles something in her fluid human tongue, then gestures, putting both hands against one cheek. I frown at her until she closes her eyes and mimics noisy sleeping sounds. Ah, she is tired. This is easily solved. I get to my feet and immediately switch to battle form, pulling her into my claws. She stiffens, her fear smell swamping the air, and does not relax until I settle down on my haunches and tuck her against me. This way, I will keep her warm and protected, sheltered in my claws all night. Pleased that I can offer this to her, I close my eyes and lower my head. Tap, tap, tap. A small human hand knocks against one of the scales on my breast. I open an eye, studying her. I do not smell her mating scent, but perhaps she has decided to challenge me after all? She wishes to mate before sleeping? I rub my nuzzle over her front, and she makes strange squawking noises, pushing me away. That is not what she wants. Even if there was a whiff of mating scent, I would catch it, but there is nothing. I narrow my eyes and study her. Does she not wish for my protection? Am I not fierce enough to provide shelter for her as she sleeps? Does she doubt this? Frustration is a boiling cloud in the back of my mind, and I take one deep breath. Two. Is there no mating scent because the human scent she covers herself with is her true mate? Do I need to destroy him? Hands touch my muzzle. Soft, delicate, human hands. Gwen, she says again, guiding my head until I look her in the eye. Remember me? Gwen. I rumble a response. I do not have human lips in this form, but I do remember. I nuzzle her sweet-smelling hair to let her know. It is good she reminded me. Sometimes I forget myself. Vaughn, she says, and taps my scales again. Intense pleasure flares through my mind at my name from her mouth, and I rumble, my fires growing by the moment. I want her to say it again. I want her to say it 100 times in that husky voice of hers. Instead, she pries at my claws, indicating that I should let her go. Frustration overwhelms my pleasure, and I release her, watching as she crawls out of my grip. She does not wish a protector as she sleeps. Even if she remains in her two-legged form, she is vulnerable this way. Change, I demand with a stab of my thoughts. Change to your battle form. Let us mate and bond. I want so badly to talk to you. I want so badly to have my mind back. More than that, I want my mate. I want all of her. She stretches in an exaggerated move and then points at one of the oblong boxes that stink of long-ago humans and dust. Her gaze meets mine, and she smiles at me, happiness flooding through my mind at that small gesture. Gwen, she says, and then gestures at the box, then makes the sleep gesture again. She wants to sleep inside there? My mate gives me another encouraging look, takes a step toward the place, and then repeats it. She slaps at her arms, frowning, and then points again. I do not understand, but I am curious, and so I wait, lowering my head, watching. She moves across the muddy clearing, her steps easy. She slaps at her arms again, frowning absently to herself, and then picks up a long, colorful length of skin. No, fabric. I remember fabric. The Silurians covered themselves in it. I growl as the memory flashes out of my mind as quickly as it arrived. Dark, awful thoughts accompany that memory, and I do not like it. My mate freezes, holding the fabric in her arms. She stares at me, her eyes wide. Hesitantly, she taps her breast. Gwen. Gwen. Yes. I remember my Gwen. The anger and old, bitter fear disappear. I get to my feet and move to where she is, giving her a quick nuzzle to let her know I am with her. She pats my nose and then gestures at the box again. When I wait for her to continue, she moves to it, pries open part of the shell, and then goes inside, disappearing from my sight. It is a home. No wonder it stinks of humans. I inhale deeply, but I detect no recent scent other than hers, so I relax and wait for her to come out. She does not. Long moments pass, and I wait, and wait, and wait. I hear her moving around inside, the fabric rustling. I hear her gentle sigh, and then it goes quiet. Is she not coming out? Is she making this her nest? She would rather sleep there than in the safety of my claws? I growl with frustration and immediately shift forms. I dislike this. I want to hold her as she sleeps. How else can I protect her? I grab at the door to the strange box, trying to pull it open like she did. There is a handle and some sort of button, but when I pull, nothing responds. Growling, I shake the door itself until the handle comes off in my hand. With a hiss of anger, I toss it into the weeds. Stupid, useless human contraptions. The door opens, and Gwen, her name is Gwen, I remember that, gazes at me from inside. She is not frightened, and the amusement is back on her lovely face. She extends a hand toward me, beckoning me in. I have no choice but to obey. I am lost to the pull of her dark eyes and her winsome smile. Such a beautiful mate, and all mine.
14. Gwen. It seems that dragons and screen doors don't match. I swallow back my laughter and rescue the door before he can completely destroy it, ushering him inside. Don't kill it, please, I tell him. It's the only thing saving me from the mosquitoes.
Gwen,
he says, voice thick with emotion and his eyes are swirling a deep, rich gold. Hey, you remembered, I tell him, pleased. I take his arm, steering him away from the door itself. I'm not exactly sure what to do with him now that he's followed me inside, but I'm not entirely surprised either. When he stands there looking at me expectantly, I pat his arm and then move back toward the bed. With the sheets freshened, it's actually pretty nice as far as beds go. The mattress is firm without being hard, and best of all, there are no bugs biting me while I try to sleep. I crawl back under the sheets and crook my arm under my head to act as a pillow, then close my eyes. Hopefully Vaughn will get the idea and find himself a place to settle down. He finds a spot all right. No more than a second after I close my eyes, a heavy foot lands on the mattress and steps over me. I squeeze one eye open in time to see a shadowy leg move over me and get a bird's eye view of Dick. Lots of Dick. Lord have mercy, this guy has a lot of Dick. If they were handing out inches in heaven, he was clearly at the front of the line. And he is not bashful about hiding those inches either. In fact, I'm not entirely sure the man knows what shame is. Just like I'm sure he doesn't know what clothing is either. I grimace as he settles down on the other side of me, on top of the sheets. It's hot in the trailer, the night muggy, and his furnace of a body isn't going to make it any cooler. He flings a heavy arm over my waist.
Gwen.
And I can't really be mad. Every time he says my name, I know he's trying. I do. We're as different as night and day, but I know he's trying really hard. It's important to him that we get along. It's important to me, too, because I need him to be on my side. So I pat his hand. Go to sleep, Vaughn. And I close my eyes again. If I have to sleep next to a dragon man all night, I will. All is quiet for a long minute, maybe two. The only sounds through the night are the constant hum of cicadas and the hoot of a distant owl. I relax because even though it's hot, I'm exhausted. It's been a long day and I didn't sleep much last night. Things will seem less crazy in the morning. They always do. A hand brushes through my hair. I go very still, scarcely daring to breathe. Maybe Vaughn's just moving my hair out of the way so he can sleep. I ignore him as he runs his fingers through my curls, waiting. I feel his breath against my skin a hot second before he licks the side of my neck. I'm so startled that I can't stop the little cry of surprise that escapes my throat. Of all the things I thought he might do, I didn't expect licking. Nor did I expect to enjoy it. But that one quick lick sent a shockwave of pleasure skittering through my body, and my skin feels as if it's throbbing where his tongue was.
Gwen,
he says huskily. And it sounds more like a caress than anything. I bite back the moan rising in my throat. I've never heard anyone say my name like that. So needy, So hungry, I'm shocked by it. And fascinated. I hold very still, waiting to see if he's going to do anything else. And a little bit afraid he won't. I shouldn't want him to touch me. I shouldn't. Should I? Maybe it feels titillating because it's wrong. Forbidden, dangerous. He's a dragon, I'm a human. I know exactly what he wants from me. It should be easy to say no. But God, how long has it been since I was held so tenderly, touched so reverently? Even as he murmurs my name against my neck and brushes his mouth over my skin, I feel adored, cherished. It's not something I expected to ever feel in the after. I don't hate it. I might even like it, which is fucked up.
Gwen.
He rubs his nose against my neck, his hand tightening around my waist. I can feel the prod of his erection against my back, but he's not grinding it against me. This doesn't feel like assault or a taking. It feels like hungry, desperate need, and a question without words. I'm not ready for it, not yet. But I don't mind sharing a few caresses, not when he's so clearly lonely and full of need. He breathes my name again, his hand clenching on my stomach as if he desperately wants to pull me closer. I sigh, closing my eyes as he rubs his face against my neck. This must be the dragon version of a kiss, and it's sweetly appealing. If Vaughn had started out the gate like this, I probably wouldn't have fought so damn hard against him. I'm just now realizing how much I'd like to be touched and petted, and how much I've missed it. It doesn't matter that he's a dragon or an alien or whatever. Right now, he's a sexy guy who's totally into me, and it's hard not to fall under the spell of that. His hand slides to my hip, and then he tugs at the waistband of my jeans. Just like that, the spell is broken. I'm sending him mixed signals, I realize with chagrin. It might feel great to snuggle in bed with him for a hot moment, but I need to remember that it could mean something very different to him than it does to me. He's got a one-track mind, and me, I'm all over the place. Wincing inwardly at the thought of how he's going to react, I very carefully pull his hand off of my stomach. No, Vaughn. There's a heavy sigh, and then he touches my hair one last time.
Gwen.
And then nothing. I hate that I'm a little disappointed. What's wrong with me that I'm envisioning what it'd be like to maybe, just maybe, give up control to someone else for a change and see what happens? I shouldn't be thinking that about a dragon. In my head, dragon still equals enemy. But I think of Amy, and how Rast gazed at her so raptly all the time, as if she was the only thing in the world that mattered. That's the way Vaughn looks at me. I can see how easy it would be to become addicted to that look.
15. Vaughn. I hate my thunder-filled mind. Ever since I came through the rift, my mind has been nothing but storms. Storms full of clouds and wind and crashes of thunder so fierce that I can scarcely tell reality from imagination. Because I hated this new world so much, it didn't matter. I let myself sink into the madness, welcoming the storms as they washed over my spirit and took over. I was nothing but need and insanity, living but not alive. Now my mate has arrived, and I realize how far I have sunk into the madness, and I do not like it. For the first time in months, years, decades, I want more. I want a mate. I want to fill a nest with young and raise them to be strong, fierce Draconi. I want my fierce female to pull to my side and touch, to caress her body, and feel her mind touch mine. She wants something from me, and I have not understood what it is yet. Every attempt I make to speak to her by a touching of minds is met with blankness. She does not have the automatic mental connection that every Draconi in close range will have. And we cannot have our private link as mates if she does not take my fires. It is frustrating to be so close and yet so far from truly understanding her. I need to do more. She did not want my food. She did not want my embrace. Something else? I ponder this as her breathing evens out and she falls asleep. Lying here next to her in the dark, the madness is not so bad, and I realize that it is because she is with me. Her scent is in my nostrils, her body next to mine, and it calms the ever-present storms in my mind. As long as I can have her, in any way, even like this, I must be content. She challenged me once. I will wait for her to do so again. I continue to sweep the room with my gaze, hunting for clues as to why she likes it here so much. This thing we sleep on? It is soft, true, but it stinks of human sweat and dust and other bodies that have lain upon it. The fabric she hugs to her, even though the evening is warm? Or something else? I look around the room, but all I see are human things. So many human things. They are an odd people, to surround themselves with so much clutter. Perhaps that is what it is, then. She needs more human things to make herself a proper nest, a nest she will be happy with. I should take her to one of the abandoned human hives, so she can take as much as she likes and line her nest with treasures. Then, when she is pleased with it, surely she will challenge me to mate her. Pleased with this plan, I lightly place my hand on my mate's waist and go to sleep.
Gwen. I wake up the next morning, drenched in sweat, drool on my face, and my hand on a warm thigh. Worst part of it? It's not even my thigh. Damn it. I snatch my hand away before Vaughn can wake up. If the Dragon Man realizes it, he doesn't say anything. He yawns slowly, stretching his big golden body and displaying sharp fangs, and then scratches at his junk. Some things never change, human or dragon. He's got morning wood, but I don't look. Well, I do look, just a little. But when he stretches, it stabs at the sky, and it's kind of hard not to notice. I get to my feet and push my hair off my face, wiping my chin. Well, aren't I just as fresh and sexy as a daisy? I tug at the front of my shirt, sticky with sweat. I feel gross and damp all over after sleeping next to the personal furnace known as Vaughn. I'd love nothing more than to rip the entire shirt off and switch it for a new one. But he's getting to his feet behind me, so I need to wait until he leaves. Vaughn immediately comes over to me and wraps his arms around me from behind, burying his face in my hair and breathing in deeply.
Gwen,
he rumbles, as if sweaty morning me is the best thing he's ever smelled. I have to admit, if he's trying to win me over, he's doing a good job. But I slide out of his grip, heading toward the bathroom of the trailer. Let's get something to drink, hmm? This morning, the sink groans and only spits out a few drops before giving up. Well, that's disappointing. It worked last night. Nothing to drink or bathe with. I open the door to the bathroom and notice Vaughn still standing out in the center of the trailer, watching me expectantly. His eyes seem more gold than black today, and I hope that's a good sign. Hey there again, I say, and make a drinking motion. Know where we can get some water? He smiles at me. A dragon should not be that handsome. And yet, here we are. And then makes the same gesture I just did.
Gwen.
Not quite, bud. I make the drinking motion again and then rub my stomach and tilt my head back as if I just drank the world's best beer. Ah, water. Then I look at him expectantly. When he keeps watching me, waiting, I move back to the sink and turn it back on again. A few drops dribble out and I pass my fingers under them, then flick them at him. His eyes light up and he lets out a sexy low growl, his eyes shooting to a brilliant soft gold. Whoops. Whatever you thought that was, it isn't, I whisper, my senses on alert. He reaches for me and I turn my head away, trying to ignore him. His claws skate up and down my arm, not enough to cut, just enough to make my skin prickle. After a moment, he sighs.
Gwen.
I just want some water. I tell him quietly. It's not flirty time. It's not a come on. It's just water. Although, if he showed up with a jug of water and a roll of condoms, I'd be hard-pressed to tell him no. I'm so parched. I press my palm to my forehead. I'm so damn thirsty, I can't think straight.
Gwen.
I look over at him. Vaughn's eyes are that normal swirl again, and he offers me his hand. I take it cautiously, and he leads me out of the trailer. Maybe he finally understood what I'm asking. I should get my shoes before we go hiking, I begin. A split second later, I'm talking to massive golden scales and I can barely swallow the scream that rises in my throat before we're in the air. Of all the places I expect the dragon to land, an auto parts store is the least likely of all. I mean, auto parts? Really? Does he think I have a hidden spark plug fetish? Does he even know what a spark plug is? At first, I think we're going to fly overhead, but nope. He circles in, and then settles on the flat, tar-smelling roof and releases me. I give him a puzzled look the moment he lets me go. What's here? He watches me expectantly, his eyes swirling. He lowers his head, waiting. All right, clearly I'm supposed to figure out something from this. Hugging my arms to my chest, I take a quick look around. We're up on the roof of what looks like an old auto parts chain store, one of the square, squatty, freestanding ones. He flew us for at least an hour, so where we are is anybody's guess. I put a hand to my eyes and scan the surroundings. In the distance, it looks like there's an old strip mall and a parking lot. And of course he took me to an auto parts store near an abandoned highway. I bite back my horrified amusement and check out my immediate surroundings. The roof of the building itself is flat with a few random metal things sticking out, and I have no idea what they pertain to, but none of them are a door leading downstairs. I move to the edge of the building and peer down into the parking lot. There's a couple of old cars scattered here and there, and a closed dumpster against the wall. I eye the distance. It'd be a fall of 15, maybe 20 feet. I don't have a good feeling about that, so it's going to be up to Vaughn to get us down. Provided I can get him to understand, of course. I wiggle my bare toes, thinking. I glance over at Vaughn. Can we get down? He immediately shifts into his human form and approaches me, dick swinging. Eek.
Gwen.
Nope, no Gwen right now, I tell him, pointing at the ground. Gwen needs down there. God, I wish you spoke English. Vaughn moves to my side, and when I point over the edge of the building, he peers over it as if to see what I'm pointing at. I'm ready to cry in frustration, until he makes a gesture with his hand that looks like jumping down. I nod. Yes, we need to get down. He immediately jumps down the side of the building and lands, quite heavily, on the dumpster. It sends up a wealth of flies, and the lid looks like a boulder landed on it. Vaughn hops down to the pavement and immediately makes a choking sound, waving a hand in front of his face. I have to giggle at that because the expression on his face is so funny. Smells good, huh? Gotta love that fresh air. Vaughn recovers and shoots me such a wry human look that I break into more giggles. God, it feels good to laugh. He studies the dumpster and then plants one foot on the side of it and shoves it away from him. It's an impressive show. He's strong, given that the heavy scraping noise the dumpster makes tells me that it's really full. It's also fascinating to watch because he's very naked, and everything flexes and shifts when he moves, and I'm doing my best not to stare like a horn dog. I keep thinking of that warm thigh I'd woken up clutching, though. I think about it a lot. And when he raises his arms up to me, indicating I should leap into them, I think about it again. Blushing, I shake my head and move away from the edge of the ledge. We might have a temporary truce, but there's no way I'm jumping off the side of a building into a dragon's arms. You can come up here and get me, I call out. A moment later, there's a dragon on top of the building again, and he's doing just that. I pat his claws as a thank you and start looking around. The doors to the place are chained, but I press my hands to the dusty glass and peer inside anyhow. There's a checkerboard tile floor in black and white, and tires line one of the back walls, a few missing from their homes. Chairs are neatly stacked along the opposite wall, and there's a fountain. I gasp in surprise because that's not something you expect to see in an auto parts store. I don't know if someone set it up after the rift or they just wanted to have a nice lobby in the before, but it doesn't matter. There's a human-sized water fountain in there, big enough for someone to bathe in. I press my ear to the glass, but there's no trickle of water going inside. Doesn't matter. I still want it. The scratchiness in my throat feels almost unbearable. So close and yet so far. Longingly, I give the fountain another look through the glass, and then tug on the doors. The padlocked chains hold tight, only giving enough for me to slide a hand through. Fuck! It is beyond cruel to have water in an apocalypse and lock it away. I look over at Vaughn and shake my head. I don't suppose that fire of yours can melt chains, can it? He tilts his head, studying the door, and for a moment, I feel like he can understand me. A split second later, he shifts to dragon form and gently nudges me aside with his claws. I don't have to be told twice. I trot away a safe distance and then turn to watch him. Vaughn studies the doors, then slides his big, knife-like claws into the gap and pries one entire door off. It groans and then goes flying with a shatter of glass in the parking lot. Well, that's one way to do it, I tell him happily. I rush forward and give his foreleg a hug, patting his scales. Thank you so much. I head inside without waiting to see if he's going to follow. The interior of the tire place is oppressively warm and smells like, well, hot rubber and tires. There's a haze of dust in the air, but I don't care, because I'm heading toward the fountain like it's calling my name. The fountain was once beautiful and had water cascading from three tiers. But like everything else in this apocalypse that ran on electricity, it's dead. The bottom tier is easily the size of a kiddie swimming pool, and it still has water in it. There are a few coins tossed at the bottom, but I don't care. It's been over a day since I drank anything, and I'm starting to feel nauseated at the lack. I dip a hand into it and taste test. Not the best flavored water, or the cleanest, but I've had worse. I gulp down a few handfuls and then rest my cheek against the lip of the thing, relieved. One problem down, many to go. The dragon noses me. I'm good, just resting. You should drink up. I pat his snout. He doesn't seem all that interested in drinking, though. I rest for a few minutes, drink again, and then hunt through the place until I find a few empty bottles and discarded cups and fill them up. Then I decide it's time for a damn bath, because it's hot as hell, and who knows how long it's going to be before I can find something this big again. It might be a risk to waste all my water bathing, but that's what the cups are for. And if that fails, I'm hoping Vaughn can find us more water. Either way, I'm getting a soak, even if it's the last thing I do. That's the nice thing about being a captive of the bad guy. I'm making some bold-ass decisions because I don't know if I'll have a future. Since I don't have any shoes on, I slide my dirty feet into the water, sitting on the edge of the fountain. Oh, wow. Nothing's ever felt so good. With a blissful sigh, I decide to say fuck it to the fact that I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt and unbuckle my gun belt and gently set it on the floor. Then I scoot forward until my whole body lowers into the water. It's cool and wonderful despite my clothing, and I make a contented noise in my throat as I lie on my back, soaking in the first bath I've had since the apocalypse. I've washed, sure, but they've been furtive cold showers or a scrub with a wet washcloth. This is a soak, and it's wonderful.
Gwen.
A hand reaches in the water and grabs a hold of me, hauling me up. Vaughn scowls, holding a handful of my wet shirt as he studies me. It's clear he has no idea what I'm doing, because the look on his handsome, stern face is downright worried. That's cute. It's a bath, silly. You can try it, too. I gently pry his claws out of my shirt before he can destroy this newest one. I splash the water, indicating he can get in and then make exaggerated motions about how much I like it. Water, so fun. He gives me a disgusted look, snorts, and walks away. I kind of have to laugh at that. It seems my dragon is pissy with me because he thought I was dying. Poor thing. I continue to roll around in the water, enjoying the feel of it against my skin. After a few minutes, though, I start to feel selfish. It feels good, but I'm not getting clean, not without soap. Vaughn clearly isn't in need of a drink and doesn't see the benefit in bathing, so I'm just wasting time and water. There are a million things we could be doing right now. Or rather, I could be doing, that could benefit my situation or help me get back to Fort Shreveport. Swimming in an abandoned fountain won't feed me, won't get me shoes or supplies, and sure won't return me to my sister and friends. With a guilty sigh, I pull myself out of the water, grab my gun belt again, and then head over to where Vaughn stands by the doors, keeping watch. Without shoes, I'm dripping water everywhere, and it makes walking treacherous. And I wobble and slide on the slick tile with every step. Just when I'm almost at Vaughn's side, my footing goes out from under me. The dragon man grabs me easily, snagging me and hauling me against him before I fall down. I gasp as he wraps an arm around my waist to support me, because suddenly my hands are on his chest, his bare skin pressed to my body, and I'm incredibly aware of the heat of his body, and how little my soaking wet clothing protects me. My nipples prick against the t-shirt and are outlined magnificently against his chest. I might as well be naked. The smoldering look he gives me tells me he's thinking the same thing. I pull away from him, my cheeks almost as scalding as his skin. Maybe we should have a look around the area.
Gwen,
he growls, trying to hold me closer, but I wriggle out of his grasp anyhow, and he lets me go. My clothes slopping water everywhere, I tiptoe out into the parking lot. I need space away from him, because for a brief, shining moment, I didn't want to let go of him. I wanted to stay in his arms and see what would happen. I wanted to rub my breasts against his chest and see how it would feel, how he'd make me feel when he touched me, if all that intensity he lives and breathes was directed onto pleasing me in bed. And I can't be thinking like that. Not in the situation I'm in. Still, it's damn easy to see why Amy always has a smile on her face. Dragon attention is potent. I blow out a deep breath and scan my surroundings. All right, where are we going from here? So I don't have to look at him again, I put a hand to my brow and pretend to be real interested in my surroundings. Squinting at the buildings in the distance, I study them for a long time, even though I recognize the bright red sign of an old pharmacy. If it hasn't been raided, it's a damn gold mine, and far better than a tire store, fountain or not. We should head over there. He grunts as if he understands me, and when I point, he nods and gestures. I guess that means that I get to take the lead for a while and he'll follow. Nice to hear. I take off across the parking lot, wringing out my clothes as I do. The gun belt slaps at my hip and pulls at my waist, threatening to fall down and take my sodden shorts with it. I hitch it up and pick my way over the weed-strewn pavement. It's summer hot against my feet, but I ignore it as best I can, stepping on patches of grass for relief. Vaughn remains at my side, letting me lead the way. It takes a bit longer than I anticipated to get through, since there's a broken overpass to traverse. But we get across, and then the pharmacy's in sight. The glass looks shattered, but not broken, which is promising. If it hasn't been gutted, that might mean it holds some treasures within. As we get closer, the doors and windows look dusty and covered in grime, but faded posters still hang in place, advertising some long-ago sales. Looks abandoned enough, I tell Vaughn and head for the doors. There's no chain on the doors, but the broken length and smashed lock are tossed nearby onto cracked pavement, so at one point it was protected from intruders. Not a great sign, but that doesn't mean it's completely ransacked. I give one of the doors a tug and it doesn't budge, but after two more yanks, it slowly creaks open, and I give Vaughn an excited look. Let's go inside. He lifts his head, sniffing the air, and frowns, putting a hand on my arm. You smell something? I tap my nose. trying to communicate what I'm asking. Vaughn thinks for a moment, then sighs heavily. The look on his face is frustrated, and he paces around the side of the building, frowning. I wait, but he only puts his hands on his hips and stares off across the empty parking lot. Yeah, okay, well, if he's taking this moment to contemplate eternity, I'm going to go inside and see if there's anything to salvage. My feet are starting to hurt, and if I'm lucky, I'll at least find some flip-flops before he gets in his dragonish head that we need to hustle away again so time is of the essence. I slip inside and take a look around. The pharmacy shelves aren't more than 5 feet tall, so I can see over the rows and rows across the empty store. Cobwebs hang from the ceiling and thick dust filters the light. Everything here screams it hasn't been touched in forever. But there are footprints in the dust on the carpet, which says someone was here before me at least. When they were here, it's impossible to tell. They didn't take everything, though. The shelves here are half full, a thick layer of dust covering their contents. I can see an end cap of tampons and another of hair products. Rows of brightly colored nail polish line the first shelf in the makeup aisle, and I sigh at the sight of them. I used to love to paint my nails, but all the products that are left are mostly goop at this point. Still, I pick up a bottle of cherry red, shake it, and then pocket it anyhow. Hope springs eternal and all that. I ignore the rest of the makeup because rancid lipstick holds no appeal, and head farther in. Hair products, feminine hygiene, cotton swabs, hair dryers, decongestants. It's all here. Behind the pharmacy counter, it looks like it's been ransacked and destroyed. Probably not long after the rift itself. Not just by junkies looking for one final fix, but desperate mothers in need of inhalers or diabetes meds for their kids. It makes me sad to think about that, because I can't imagine that anyone who desperately needed any medicine like that is still alive. I circle around to the edge of the store, not entirely sure what to grab in the face of all this wealth. There's toilet paper and paper towels and tissue paper and paper plates, and I feel like I'm in heaven. I think for a moment and then immediately race toward the food aisles, but those are picked through. With a sigh, I glance around and then my gaze falls on the shampoos and hair products. I touch my wet, nasty hair and then head toward it. I could go back to that fountain and finish my bath. Heck, if there's a working sink in the bathroom here, I could wash my hair. Really, really wash my hair. And lotion, oh God, there are bottles of lotion. I'm gonna need a damn cart, I tell myself happily. But I don't go get one, not yet. Instead, I pick up a bottle of bath wash, flip open the cap, and breathe in the floral scent. It's still there, even after all these years, and it smells better than anything I could possibly imagine. Wow, I've forgotten all the smells from before, when people actually got to bathe regularly with hot water and had all the clothing they could possibly want. I close my eyes, and for a moment, I want so badly to be back in that time. I want to be in a world where cars ran instead of rusted, parents didn't walk away one day in search of food and never came back, and people were nice to each other. A time when dragons were fairy tales and only existed in movies as bad CGI. I give the bottle another sniff, but the smell isn't as strong and floral in the second round, and it makes me sad. Sad like all of this. Sad for the life I should have had instead of the one I'm forced to scrape together. I give the bottle one last sniff and hug it to my chest. Something clinks the next shelf over. I pause, looking around for Vaughn. I don't see him anywhere because his big shoulders and bronze head would be easily visible over the short shelving. But I'm alone in here. Rats, maybe? I curl my bare toes in distaste and creep over to the next aisle, trying not to make much noise so I don't scare away whatever critter it is. I want to see what it is I'm up against. It could easily be a possum, but it could also be a snake or a skunk, and those have to be avoided in a very careful manner. I peer around the edge, scanning for animals. There's no skunk, though. No critter or rodent or reptile. There's a woman. She's about my size and so incredibly filthy that it's impossible to make out her hair color or even her age. She could be 20 or 40. Her face is lined with dirt and mud, and her hair is a caked, snarled mess. Her clothes are grimy, rotten rags that don't seem to have any particular shape. She presses herself against the shelf